right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Welcome to this week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We're going right into the title this week.
Yes.
Episode 165, A Change of Season.
What?
The fall.
What are we on, fucking, what are we on, the Lifetime Network? A Change of Seasons?
Does only Lifetime acknowledge that it's the fall now? It's getting cold outside.
A Change of Seasons?
I wore a sweatshirt the other day.
What, did you leave your abusive husband with your...
Yes, I did. I left my abusive
with your
husband.
Autistic child and are starting your life anew with a new
love interest?
Which involves
collecting colored leaves, and I'm making decoupage out of him.
There's always an abusive husband on those. I don't know why. Why? Why are they so bad?
A mentally challenged child.
It's just the odds are so stacked
against
them.
New after-school special.
I have an idea. Let's put it to a vote. Choice A, the Republican choice, will be A Change of Seasons. Choice B, the intelligent independent choice, will be Just Another Episode.
Clearly that's intelligent. I could see the entire thought process that went into that.
I know, because clearly A Change of Seasons.
At least I tried to tie it into something
going
on.
Starring Valerie
Bertinelli. Valerie Bertinelli?
Starring Valerie Bertinelli.
Look,
as...
Change of Seasons now. In a couple of weeks, it'll be... too damn cold. And a couple months later, it'll be too darn hot. See, we have a trend going on this show.
We've never named something. I can't. It's almost the name of a new Summer's Eve douche.
A Change of Season?
It's almost when you switch it from the summer douche
pumpkin
to the
spice
fall douche. That's what it is. So, OG, you're obviously going to vote for A Change of Seasons.
Right.
I will be voting for Just Another Episode, which leaves, let me think. Oh, it's Just Mike.
I see.
For the tiebreaker. Just Mike?
I'm going to go with the non-abusive husband, autistic child vote and go with the B for Just Another Episode.
Oh, well, there it is.
Of course you are.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 165, Just Another Episode. Hey, in your Change of Seasons movie...
Yes.
I just want to know, in your Change of Seasons movie,
yes,
Does Gavin McLeod play her dad, who she has to go home to with her autistic child after her abusive husband?
The odds are just unbelievable.
She never had a great relationship with her father. Her father, who is now a widow and has a big empty house and accepts his daughter and his autistic grandchild.
Hey, how about we play this?
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Things we've watched this week that we want to talk about on the show tonight. We saw two trailers.
Uh-huh, we did.
And then I watched a TV show. I don't know if you guys did. Did you guys watch? Oh, actually, two TV shows. Did you guys watch The Cleveland Show on Sunday?
No, but I heard it was excellent.
Or Flash Forward last Thursday.
No.
No, but that's
DVR'd.
I
didn't see Cleveland. I'm really upset. Is it on Hulu?
So are you saying we shouldn't talk about these now?
No. By all means, I'm not going to hold up the show just because I haven't seen the episodes like everyone else in this room.
We don't have to talk about it.
I'm talking about last week, not this week.
I'm going to provide my opinions on both of those shows, and then you guys can report back next week having watched them.
Okay.
Sound good?
Hey, love the internet. That's what it's for.
Exactly.
Go to town.
I liked The Cleveland Show. I thought it was funny. I could see where it would get tiring if he's not careful.
Okay.
But I thought it was a good start.
Why would it get tiring?
Because it really kind of sort of felt like Black Family Guy.
Now, I was told that the cutaways on The Cleveland Show are not as random as on Family Guy.
That is true. The cutaways seem to make more sense and be more logical. That being said, I don't necessarily consider that a good thing, just a different thing. Because I happen to think that the random, completely illogical cutaways in Family Guy are sometimes some of the funniest things. Because they really highlight some of the characters well. I mean, some of the Peter cutaways are completely ridiculous, but you laugh at every single one of them.
I laugh, but I've just, ever since that South Park where they made fun of them with the walrus, it's just been hard for me to really get into the cutaways as much as I used to.
The one where Peter's in the middle of a conversation and he goes to the cutaway where he's like, I forgot how to sit. And he throws himself at the chair.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, but it's funny as hell. And I laugh every time I watch it.
You make a compelling argument. But...
So that's The Cleveland Show.
Okay.
Flash forward, I was utterly bored. 15 minutes before the end of the episode, I had completely lost interest.
Now, this is supposed to be the show that takes over for Lost when Lost ends.
Well, it's got to do a lot. For me, it's got to do a lot more than what it did last week.
I see. So it's a lot like Dollhouse.
No, I actually thought Dollhouse was better. I enjoyed the first episode of Dollhouse. Not great, but at least I was interested. I think I'm going to watch the second episode of Flash Forward just because I hope it may get better.
Well, you know what I hear?
But
I hear episode 9 is the episode watch. And if you make it all the way to Flash Forward episode 9, the hacky bits that you didn't like in the first 8 episodes will all be swept away.
All right.
And a new set of hacky elements will be presented in 9 that will compel you to watch not only the rest of that season, but seasons to come.
You watch the rest of the season of Dollhouse, right?
Please.
No, I don't think so.
Please.
Anyway, so that's Flash Forward Cleveland.
I don't have to step in it and roll around in it to know that it's shit.
Okay. It ended very strong. It had a good season ending.
It did.
Dollhouse.
Did it have a good season ending, or was it the unaired episode that was the good season ending?
The unaired episode was fantastic, but the season ending, the actual last 2 or 3 episodes of the season were really, really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people would agree with me, even people who may not have liked the show.
Okay.
Overall.
I'd not be one of those people.
Let's go into the trailers that we watched. Because I know all 3 of us have seen those.
Yes, thank this God, is a common
for once.
The Phantom. Coming to sci-fi in 2010.
That was banging good.
It looked all right.
For a TV show, you gotta say that looked great.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Phantom fan, but I'll definitely check out at least an episode. It looked better than the Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah, really? It did. Let's say that the Phantom is obviously an old pulpy character. Many people will unfortunately remember because, I mean, this is the way people are. They'll remember the sad Billy Zane movie, which actually I didn't think was so bad, but, you know, didn't do so well. But this is a classic pulp character that they are bringing back. updating, modernizing. And I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say the reword, because it's not the character that has been...
The reword?
Yeah. You know, the reword.
Right.
It's not the character that's been thought again or rethought. It's not the character or the story, because that is, from the trailer, that is as solid to the mythos of the Phantom universe as you can get. One Phantom passes on the mantle to his son or his grandson, I think, in maybe a couple of those cases. And but this has been going on for hundreds of years, that they've passed down the mantle from one generation to the next. And that's clearly what's happening here.
Yep.
Young guy, they say we're going to, the mysterious guys who are, you know, sort of training him, are saying, we're going to train you. And when you complete the training, you will wear the mantle of the Phantom. And they show him the costume, which is kind of the old school costume, the spandex or whatever,
right,
bodysuit costume of the old character. And in what is a great moment in the trailer, he says, I'm not wearing that. So what they do is, or what he does, presumably from what we see in the trailer, is he is in some way updating, modernizing this costume that is worn by the Phantom. Now, of course, diehards will have a fan with this. I won't. I'll at least give it a shot. If it's a, if it follows the mythology of the Phantom and it sticks to the sort of the premise of what the character is all about, updating and modernizing the costume isn't a deal breaker for me. It may be for other people, but it's not for me.
And we should say an unknown or a virtual unknown in the role of the Phantom too.
Yeah, he looks fine.
Ryan Karnes is his name. And you know, he had a run on Desperate Housewives and General Hospital. He's done a couple of episodes here and there, CSI.
Was he on Lifetime?
Doctor Who. He may have been on Lifetime.
Okay.
He may have been the retarded child.
He could have been the retarded child.
Hey, hey, yeah. Hey. Nobody used the word retarded here.
I'm sorry. Autistic, specially enabled, retarded child. So yeah, I mean, it looked pretty good.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I liked it.
I thought it was great up until the point where you hear and see Freddy Krueger.
Because, well, I don't think your judgment is fair, because you're judging without, first of all, without fully seeing how the man is going to look.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that.
And because I think you're just so used to the Robert Englund Freddy voice that you can't imagine somebody else trying to do that type of voice.
He's got a speech impediment, and he looks like a... like a burn victim trying to pull off a Freddy costume.
Imagine that. A burn victim.
I understand.
Freddy Krueger.
Look, I understand, right? I understand that he's a burn victim. But he doesn't look evil. I laughed. It made me kind of chuckle. Because the speech impediment and the way he looks didn't scare me.
See,
the glove was scary.
See, I gotta cut you off. Because now, clearly, the speech impediment could be part of the character.
Yes.
Right? Because we don't know a lot about the character. So the speech impediment could be part of the character. Obviously, this version of Freddy Krueger is a sicko, something to do with kids and killing kids and God knows what else, modernizing and updating it. Maybe he's a kid toucher on top
right.
of killing them. You know, and these weirdos, sometimes they got little weirdo flaws like that remove them from society, where they feel like they have to become these monsters that do these things. Number one. Number two, you did not see the full him.
I will agree with you. It still has the potential to go better once we see the full him.
He had a hat on. You could barely see his face in
he
one
no
his,
lips,
his
though.
Mouth in one shot.
He had no
what
lips.
If he was just doing that? This. What if he was just
pulling his lips in tight?
What if he was just mad?
I think he looked kind of silly. But I'm giving it the opportunity to look better. So we'll see.
Okay.
Kind of sounds like Rorschach a little bit.
Well, gee, imagine.
Well, you know, the quack's like a duck.
Remember Whiz Kids?
Ooh, that was a company. They
yes.
put out stuff we liked.
They did. They were actually responsible for a lot of the Clicks games. Hero Clicks, Action Clicks, Horror Clicks, Sports Clicks.
Right.
So pre-painted little miniatures on bases that clicked with different statistics. You click the kind of the base around and the statistics on the top change, and you can have these battles with them. Very, very, very popular product.
Absolutely.
And they were also responsible for the pocket model constructible games, one of which, the Pirates games,
hell yes,
talked about for a long motherfucking time on this show.
A long time.
Yes, and we followed them from the beginning right up until the company's untimely demise. What? I guess it's about a year ago or so.
Probably thereabouts.
Well, guess what happened?
What?
They've been bought.
By?
Ready? NECA.
Huh.
So NECA has acquired the rights to WizKids and the Clix lines of games and the pocket model stuff. And, yeah.
That doesn't entirely surprise me.
Yep. The company will operate. So I'm assuming they mean the WizKids will operate as a wholly owned NECA subsidiary under the direction of Lax Chandra, who was in charge of it while it was at Topps. So Topps is kind of... Topps, who I think initially picked all that stuff up, has now cast it off to NECA, it would seem.
I think a lot of people don't realize quite how deep NECA goes into its product base. A lot of people really associate them with their action figures.
Right.
Right? And I fall into this pitfall every year. Every year I'm like, ooh, what's the new NECA figures that are coming out? What are we going to see? What license did they acquire? And then we go into their booth at Toy Fair, and I always forget the hundreds of other licensed products that they have.
And it's not even all action figures.
No,
merch.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's like lunchboxes and like stockings and scarves and mugs
I think they have all this crazy stuff. I think they have the master license currently for... Don't they have the master license in the U.S., I think, for Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh, they might.
I think they do. And I think that pretty much any product that you see right now, pretty much, I think, comes from NECA.
Might be.
All that Christmas Story stuff
that came out,
that was all NECA.
Yep.
A lot of that stuff, when they pick up a license, they pick up the whole thing. 300, they have the whole license. Figures.
Twilight.
Replica. Twilight. They have a Twilight license. I mean, they're doing a lot more than just action figures. And here now is another... I think good move by the fellas over there.
Well, the interesting part about it is, with all of these other licenses that they have, and now essentially acquiring a gaming company, wonder where they'll go with it.
Who knows?
Could you imagine, like...
Harry Potter clicks?
Actually, I was going to go with Turtles.
Yeah, because they're really pushing Turtles hard now.
Could you imagine a Turtles click game?
They don't have the rights to Turtles.
They don't have the rights to Turtles?
No. They had.
They just have a figure license?
What I think that they have is a license based exclusively on the comic book imagery, I think.
So Playmates has the rest of that license?
Yeah, Playmates, because Playmates is still putting out Turtles figures. Playmates is also putting out, I don't know if they actually came out yet or not, or whether they hit the wall or not, but they had also planned on putting out a comic book inspired line of Turtles for the anniversary. But I don't know if that ever came to fruition.
Well,
but I'm pretty sure Playmates still has the master license.
Well, then
there.
Potter would stand to be another likely good source.
Potter clicks.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Get a Hermione. Click.
That's good for them. Good for NECA.
Yeah.
I like NECA.
Yeah, good. So we're told that announcements will be forthcoming with regards to how and what NECA will be doing with these lines. I'm hoping a continuation and not a relaunch of the Pirates line.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Was Pirates, did they work the movie franchise into there at all? Anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember they had a line of, they had one of their
ships.
One of their lines was based on the movie.
Was based on the movie?
Yeah, one of their.
Maybe they'll continue that because they have that. They have that figure license too, and they have some other pirate related products. So you never know.
Yeah.
And in theory, there are three more Pirates movies in the works. So.
Well, maybe not.
Well, that's what we're gonna get into next.
Okay.
It was a segue.
Yeah,
that was beautiful.
Nice.
Depp is definitely on board for 4. Okay. His contract is signed.
Not what I heard.
Not what I heard either.
No, he's on for 4. His contract is signed for 4.
Okay.
But not 5 and 6. Jeffrey Rush is on for 5 and 6.
Right.
But not Depp. Now, that doesn't mean he's not doesn't mean he's not on for them, but he hasn't confirmed it yet. When is it Dave Cook left Disney a couple weeks back?
Left Disney. Well,
was politely asked to leave.
Walked
Disney?
Into his boss's office for a casual meeting and walked out with his fucking pink slip, you mean?
Depp had close ties to him.
Yes.
They were good friends. And he was partially responsible for casting Depp in the role of Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
So Depp came out and kind of said that he had lost interest, or that his interest in playing the character may be affected by Cook not being there any longer. Of course, this is all after he had already signed for the 4th film. So now Disney, although not officially, has not officially said, but the rumor mill is that Disney has already started thinking about recasting that role, which would be the biggest mistake in Disney movie history.
That would be really, really dumb.
If he doesn't do a 5th and 6th movie, then there should be a 4th movie and it should be over. You can't recast Jack Sparrow. I mean, unless you're going to try to do a Pirates of the Caribbean movie without Jack Sparrow, but you can't recast that character.
What if they did a reimagination where they...
There it is.
Where they did, they decided to go in a different new direction, and Jack Sparrow was a straight stand-up guy who was an atypical pirate.
It would be a huge mistake for Disney to do that.
I agree.
I don't think that's actually going to happen. I think the likelihood is that Depp won't come back before they recast him. Although money talks. And so, I think really when push comes to shove, if the price is right, then you'll see him in the rest of the franchise. So, you know who we can expect to return in another reimagining, though?
No.
Ghost Rider? Nick Cage is expected to return. Geez.
No, he's not.
Of course he is. The film franchise.
Even though they're relaunching, Nick Cage is expected to play him again.
He is expected to come back and step into the role of Ghost Rider.
But redo the movie.
Redo it.
Isn't Why? That embarrassing? Who the hell is saying this?
I don't know.
That's insanity. That's just insane talk right there.
I understand that it's insane talk, but that's what they're talking about.
That's not going to happen.
I hope another Ghost Rider movie doesn't happen.
That's somebody
period.
Talking out of their ass. No, I don't agree with that. I think a good Ghost Rider movie would be awesome. That's just not what we got last time.
And we got Nick Cage. Superman Ghost Rider.
Nick Cage is not the only problem with that movie.
No, but certainly he's the biggest problem with that movie.
Wes Bentley as Blackout, pretty big problem in that movie.
Really overshadowed by Nick Cage's Ghost Rider.
Well, okay.
Did you see Lost Boys 2?
Nobody saw Lost Boys 2.
Right. So why are they doing Lost Boys 3?
I don't know. Is it direct to DVD discount bins?
Well, 2 was. Of course, no one has said that, no one has said that 3 will definitely be. Of course, the hope is for a theatrical release.
Of course, because once you do a movie that's kind of a killer classic horror movie, at this point I'd say at least somewhat classic horror movie, and then you do a direct-to-DVD sequel, of course you are expecting a theatrical release for the third one. What lunatic is expecting a theatrical release for that movie? That's ridiculous.
But with such stellar... talented actors as Corey Feldman returning in Lost Boys 3.
Uh-huh.
How could it not go to theaters?
Yeah. That's probably the primary reason it's not going to theaters.
Ew.
I think not only... If they had not only Corey Feldman, but Corey Haim, it still wouldn't go to
theaters.
Well,
on Corey Feldman's blog, he said that he and Corey Haim have buried the hatchet. They've called the truce between the two of them. And so naturally the speculation is, would they get both of them back? I'd almost consider seeing it. Almost. If both of them were in
Did you watch the second one?
No.
Then how will you possibly watch the third?
Just to see the two of them reunite on the screen.
The third will answer the unanswered questions from 2.
Why does this movie suck? We got what could be potentially the first good news about the Predator relaunch.
And now this is Robert Rodriguez, right?
This is Robert Rodriguez. And Danny Trejo is going to be starring in the film.
Starring in the film?
Starring in the film.
Starring. Not starring. In the film.
Not in the film.
He's not
I
like
hear,
playing Billy,
I
the
hear
Indian
starring.
That cuts himself on the bridge, right?
So of course, starring could be he's the guy in the Predator suit. That's going to happen.
That.
But apparently he's going to have a major role in the movie.
Okay, a major role is not starring in the movie.
Well, they're not going to... I don't know that he's going to play the Schwarzenegger character. But then again, this is supposed to be a prequel, too. So he could be the lead.
The Carl Weathers character?
It's supposed to be a prequel?
It's a reimagining of the character with storylines
that
take place.
No. You have to say it like this.
Oh.
It's a reimagination. See, that's when you get the effect.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have to do it special for the effect to come in.
Well, it's a reimagination.
There you go.
Of the character. With storylines that take place prior to the first movie. And I think that it will catch up with somewhere in that first movie. So
Dutch
it's not
Schaefer?
Really... Yeah.
That's the Schwarzenegger character from the first movie.
So there
much.
You go. And this isn't going to affect Machete, by the way.
Machete.
Which is still coming also.
That's good. I always liked the Predator films. All of them. I can't think of one that I didn't like. So
I liked the first two. I liked Predator 2. I thought Alien versus Predator was
the first one.
Yeah, it was all right. And I didn't see Aliens versus Predator in the Wild Wild West. So,
what do you mean?
Didn't it take place in the West? It wasn't a Western, but wasn't it like out west somewhere?
Yeah, but
like
you're
in Arizona
selling it like
or
it's
New
like
Mexico or some
the Predator
shit.
Walked down the middle of the street with his six gun ready. Like that's not what happened.
No,
I don't
I
know
understand.
If it was in the Midwest. I think it was in the Northeast or something. Northwest.
I seem to remember
something.
When we talked about it before it came out, but. Look, I didn't
remember.
See it, so I can't
it was hard
say
to tell
sure.
Because the movie was so goddamn dark, you couldn't tell anything. So
exactly.
That could have been the greatest Predator movie, Alien Predator movie of all time, and better than any of them.
But no one would know.
But no one could see it, so unbelievable.
So while Machete moves forward.
Machete.
And Predator moves forward, The Hobbit is having some trouble.
Oh, God. What's wrong with The Hobbit?
MGM doesn't have the money for their share.
Oh, Christ.
Why would they?
Well, remember, this was going to be co-financed between MGM and New Line after all of that lawsuit, crazy rigmarole
right.
last year.
Right.
MGM's share of the budget is $20 million, which they do not have.
Oh, they can't come up with $20 million. The movie's going to make close to $1 billion.
They could put a donate now button on their website and raise $20 million.
Yeah, probably in like 2 days.
That's
just to see it move forward. So
somebody will come up with the money. It's just a stall tactic.
It's one of two things. Either someone will come up with the money and it's a stall tactic, or they'll choose not to break it into two films. And maybe they'll only do one Hobbit film.
No way.
That will just be good.
Nope.
And then we can be happy.
Nope.
And not have to worry about what content
nope.
will be rammed
nope.
into the second one.
Nope. Right. And it will be equally rammed into the first and second movie.
Okay.
Why don't you ever listen to me?
All right.
And there's a clear break point.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
It's not going to happen. You realize it's not going to happen. It's not going to be one movie.
I understand.
Someone will come up. What's his name? Will put up his own damn money.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson will put up his own money.
Guillermo
del Toro. They'll put up their own damn money.
I wish someone would take some money away from Sony and Marvel, because they're planning on moving forward with a Venom film.
You mean the Walt Disney Company?
Yes. Now, where does Spider-Man fall in that? Because that's
Doesn't.
Sony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not affected by the
nope.
Disney thing.
Nope.
So then Sony should be robbed to fund Hobbit, and you could take it from the Venom account.
So they are going to try to make that Venom movie, huh?
They are trying to make a Venom movie. They
With,
have said that they
Topher
have
Topher Grace?
No word on Topher Grace. Although I thought he was good as a young Eddie Brock. I liked him as Eddie Brock. I didn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I thought he kind of followed close to the Ultimate Spider-Man character, sort of.
Right.
Sort of.
Okay.
So that's it.
Nobody on this planet could sell me on that third film.
Not at all.
I just couldn't
on
do it.
On the third film?
I just couldn't do it, sir. Spider-Man 3? Couldn't do it.
So you've never seen it?
No, I've seen it. I
oh.
just thought it was absolutely horrible.
I thought you were suggesting you hadn't seen it.
Oh,
we all thought it was horrible.
I don't know.
The question everybody wants to know is, could you be sold on a sequel to Free Enterprise?
Yes. Yeah. Now let's talk about this. Now, I know Mr. Burnett, right? Is that what we're talking about here? Burnett, and the other one's Meyer, I think. I spent a lot of time, was it last year or the year before, at San Diego at a party where we were discussing the sequel to Free Enterprise. Or maybe that was three years ago. We were discussing the sequel to Free Enterprise, and he was telling me the most outrageous shit I've ever heard in my life for a sequel to anything. So with that said, I thought it's really funny that they think that they're going to make that film now.
Why?
I understand the motivation behind it, of course, is that Star Trek was huge last year.
And Shatner is big still.
And Shatner is big. And, of course, you know, they feel like now's the, if they're going to make it, now's the time to make it. Except I don't like some of the things that I'm hearing.
Like?
Like they're not going to use Eric McCormick and Rafer Weigel.
Weigel.
Who were the original two guys in the original film. What they're going to do is they're kind of going to sort of do what they did in the first movie where those two will actually appear later in the movie as the movie makers who are making the sequel.
Okay.
Right? And new actors will actually be playing them.
Yes.
It's a little confusing, but if you saw the original Free Enterprise, at the end of the movie, the two of them are actually making the movie you just watched.
Right.
So they're going to kind of do that again, except this time they're going to cast or they're going to show the actors who are playing them. And it won't. And by they, I mean Eric McCormick and Rafer Weigel.
Right. I don't know. It sounds weird.
I don't give a shit as long as they get Audie England back. Because if they don't get Audie England back, they shouldn't do the film.
Well, yeah, but I she may not have a place in the new movie, though.
She is the girlfriend.
I understand that.
They need to get her back.
I understand that. You want to see her back. I understand that. But
I've seen her back, sir.
She may not have a place.
Front and her sides and her top and her bottom.
She may not have a place in the film is all I'm saying.
All right. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just thinking that from his standpoint,
right.
The way it seems to be going, the roles that the original characters will play, she may not have a place in the film.
Okay. I'm a little upset by that.
All right.
If she doesn't have a lime green jumpsuit on, that would be a disappointment.
That would be a disgrace.
Yeah. Just saying. Even though it's like, what, 10 years ago that movie was made?
Yes.
And Shatner is probably more popular now than he was when that movie came out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Underground, he was still Shatner when
still
that movie
always
was
Shatner.
Made. But now he's much more mainstream.
I mean, he's winning Golden Globes.
Like really the whole culture, more mainstream. I think, though, I think he busted out of kind of the at least the Kirk stereotype. When he started doing Boston Legal and started winning awards and started being absolutely amazing. Not that he wasn't before, but I don't know if you've ever seen him in Boston Legal.
Denny Crane.
He's amazing in that show.
Denny Crane.
He's amazing.
Yes, he really is amazing in that show.
And that said, that show's over now, which of course frees him up to do these other projects. But what he has failed to break out of is the Shatner cliche, which I think's great because at least that's his identity now.
Yeah.
And he accepts it. It's different, though, because 10 years ago, the Shatner thing was just sort of about the wig and about the stuttering. It's not stuttering, but about the whether does he wear a wig or not and the whole kind of way that he delivers his lines. That was the whole kind of, that was it. And that he was Captain Kirk. And I'm really glad for Shatner on many levels that he's kind of outgrown, I guess, is some of that.
He's accepted the other parts of it. The Shatner persona.
Right.
But has managed to get away from some of the negative parts of the stereotype.
Right.
Yeah, he's great, man. I like Shatner. I got no beef with him. Are you looking forward to V?
I've seen it. And about to tell me that they're going to do a sequel and...
I will be so upset.
Natalie Portman was great and Hugo Weaving and that movie was near perfect.
You're being a silly goose. The TV series, sir. V?
Oh, that one.
You know the one that's coming back with Mirena Bakarin in it?
The one that had Mark Singer in the original and Jane begins with B. I don't remember her name. In it. And, oh, and Robert Englund
yes.
in the original as well. And Michael Ironside. Yes, that was a complete cast of characters in that original one. Yes, coming back with Mirena Bakarin.
ABC is the one that's bringing this back.
Uh-huh.
And?
Is it a reimagination?
It is.
Okay.
And? They are splitting up the release of the show. They're going to be showing 40 episodes before the end of the year.
40?
Four episodes before the end of the year. And then they're going to take this huge break until late spring and show the remaining nine.
Okay. Believe it or not, that's not entirely unlike what happened with the original.
Right.
The original was a miniseries. The miniseries ran for so long. And then there was a big gap. And then there was a second miniseries, I think.
Yes.
And then there was a TV show that followed the second miniseries.
Okay.
I think I'm right about that.
Sure.
They made one V action figure.
Okay.
It was one of the aliens. You could pull off his face, and he had the lizard head under it.
Okay. Yes.
That's the only product I remember from V in any way, shape, or form.
Well, either way, they're saying that it's due to production problems, money problems. There's also a rumor out there that they won't actually make all 13 episodes, that they'll end up only doing like 10.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. So you're going to see four, for sure.
Whether you like it or not.
You may see 13 total.
Or maybe 10.
There's the possibility you may only see 10.
8.
Well, that's the whatchacallit curse coming into effect there.
The whatchacallit curse?
Yeah, the show, the curse. Because Mirena Bakarin was on that show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, not saying it.
Not saying what?
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
That's it, the Firefly curse.
Right.
I can't remember what it was called.
Right.
Because apparently, with the exception of Castle, and really we don't know yet because Castle got to break two seasons, I think, in order to break the cycle. Because nobody else in the cast of
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Yeah, Firefly.
Yeah, except that's not true, though.
Who?
Adam Baldwin.
What is... Oh, well, he's the exception.
How is he...
Wait a minute, hold on. How many seasons has that show been going?
It's done with two, and three starts up soon. So it's broke two,
I guess,
and three starts up.
Fine. Somehow.
I think Castle will make three, though. A lot of people like that show.
It is a good show.
Yeah.
I enjoy Castle.
Well, then let's say that it's just sort of crawling away from the
it is
the curse.
It's crawling away from the curse. That I will give you.
Because I mean, Drive was a failure,
right?
Terminator: The Sarah Connor Chronicles
ended after two seasons.
Was a failure from inception.
Says you.
Says me. What about the one that the lovely and talented Jewel State was on?
She was on that for more than two seasons.
No, she was not.
Wasn't that show five seasons and she came on in season two?
No, sir. That was one of the Stargates. Not
Stargate Atlantis.
Was it Stargate?
Stargate Atlantis.
She came on in the last season of that show.
No, I don't think so.
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
I think I'm 100% correct. I think she had just kind of did maybe one season, and I think they ended it. I'm reasonably sure of that. Her action figure didn't even come out. Did that figure even come out yet? I don't even know. Nobody gets to Kitbash Kaylee yet. And who else? Mirena Bekarin was on Heart. Was that
she was
Heart?
On 33 episodes Heartland? Of the show. Jewel State was on 33 episodes of the show.
Yeah.
From 2005 to 2009. Atlantis just ended earlier this year. She was on it for 4 seasons.
That's weird. Was it really 4 seasons?
There was 99 episodes of the show.
Yeah, and she did a third of them. How is that 4 seasons?
It says she was on the show from 2005 to 2009.
Wait, hold on. It says she was on the show or the show ran from 2000?
She was on the show from 2005 to 2009. The show ran from 2004 to 2009.
I don't think that's accurate.
Okay, IMDb is wrong.
I'm just saying. It doesn't seem right to me.
Okay.
In any event, crawling away from the curse because Mirena Bekarin was on, what was that show, Heartland?
Yeah, and that didn't do very well at all.
That tanked after like 8 episodes.
And the lead character in that show was in the original Phantom movie with Billy Zane.
That's true. I can't remember that dude's name.
Neither can I.
So there was that. And who else? What's his name? Book. Shepherd Book. Ron Glass hasn't done anything, I think, since Firefly. Who does that leave? The Doctor? Simon?
Hasn't done anything.
Hasn't done anything.
And Alan Tudyk hasn't done anything long-term either.
Well, not long-term. Alan Tudyk has done some flicks.
He's done movies and stuff, yeah. But he hasn't done a TV show that's run consecutive for anything. So.
Right.
Yeah. He was in a couple of episodes of Dollhouse, but that doesn't really count because he hasn't recurred. So.
Right. So there you go.
There it is.
It's still a curse.
Okay. I think we could take our first break.
Okay.
I need a break.
From what? Your hard, strenuous labor?
Yes.
Sitting over there reading?
Yes, it's very difficult.
Oh, I know.
It's hard.
Poor put-on thing, you.
I know.
And with that, we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 165, Just Another Episode, starring Valerie Bertinelli.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, this is Robert Hedges from Welcome Back, Kotter.
This is Lauren Hoogland Jacobs from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Hey, this is Ron Palillo from Welcome Back, Kotter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right on, y'all.
But those dreams have remained, and they've turned around.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 165, Just Another Episode.
Starring Valerie Bertinelli.
With an autistic child.
Played by Jess Mike.
Ooh.
I should have said Simple Mike. Damn, that would have been much funnier.
Wow, somebody's lashing out.
Are you mad that I did not vote for you, sir?
That's right.
I think that's what it is.
I think he turned on me.
I'm taking it out on you.
Wow.
That was harsh.
All right, what do we got going on? Contests, right?
Oh, we got so many PSAs or public service announcements. We should just do them all now.
Well, we have two contests that are still going on right now.
Let's talk about contest number one, which is going to end next week.
Right.
That is, we want you to pick a classic TV show from the 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Right.
And to have it be
recast.
Reimagined as a feature film.
Right.
And who would star in that film.
Correct.
Now, we got a couple of entries so far.
We have.
We want to get some more.
Right.
And what we want you to do is write your idea to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Right.
And we're going to end that one next week. And these are some great prizes we're starting to give away. We might give away some Sideshow stuff. Just
what?
Saying. I'm just saying.
That's
might
crazy
give away
talk.
Some Sideshow stuff.
That's crazy talk.
Yep. They make a mug.
Nice.
Just saying. It's a product of Sideshow. What? So
nice mug.
That's it is a nice mug. So that's one. Two, our second contest is the one we started last week, so that's got at least another week to go, probably into a week again after that. That is for episode 163.
Right.
Or four.
Four.
Was it three or four?
No, it was four.
Four. For episode 164, we're looking for the most intelligent, concise comment left on the website about episode 164.
Right.
Right? And we're going to give away a Fabu prize for that
Fabulous
one as well.
Prize.
Right.
That one's real easy. You just got to hop on over to the website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, seek out episode 164, and leave a comment. How easy is that?
Simple.
And you know, while you're over there, you can check out a whole bunch of things. Like, for example, you could buy the t-shirt.
Plethora of things.
You could check out all the episodes.
Ooh, Wally.
For those of you who aren't using an iPod, iPhone, iTouch, iTunes,
Shut up.
And QuickTime, you can check out the image galleries for this episode, 165.
Absolutely.
To see some of the related images of things that we're talking about here on the show. And, of course, for those of you listening on those devices and methods I mentioned earlier, you're lucky enough to see those images pop up right as you listen to the show.
Also, if you're over there, you will see our hotline phone number.
425-920-6050.
And if you're not on any sort of narcotic, whether it be prescribed or over-the-counter, and
we don't
like
judge.
To call the show.
We judge.
We judge.
We judge.
We judge. I'll take that back.
If you'd like to call the show, leave a comment, ask a question.
Right.
Tell us something you love about the show, hate about the show, want to hear us talk about. You can call that number, leave a voicemail, and you may just hear yourself on an upcoming episode of the show.
Yes, which is very exciting. So,
right.
Plenty to do over at the website. So, right. Those are the contests. Those are the websites. Oh, well, we haven't launched this week's contest.
Wow, we really are on a contest kick.
Yes, and this week's contest has to do with our inspirational friends over at October Toys. .com and Toy Break,
right?
Is it OctoberToys.com?
It is OctoberToys.com, and Toy Break is the podcast, also at ToyBreak.com.
And being that this is now October,
ooh,
we're going to focus our contest on October Toys.
All right.
A couple of weeks ago, we asked you to write an email to October Toys founders, George and Aileen, and to tell them why they should move east. Now, they're currently located in L.A. They run their company from there, but really they have said as much that they can run their company anywhere, and you know, they're thinking about coming back to the East Coast, and we love those guys so much. We would love to have them back on the East Coast so that we could hang with them, so that they can come on the show more often, so that, you know, just in general, we would have, well, I'll be honest, OG would have some friends. So
that ain't nice.
Look, I mean, what am I going to lie? So in conjunction with that request that we asked you to, we asked you to email info@octobertoys.com. Well, we decided that we wanted to make it a prize-bearing contest. So, rather than writing info@octobertoys.com, which you could do, you could CC your email over
sure.
to them if you wanted to, but the contest entries
have to come to us.
Yes, to geekstuffog@gmail.com. we'd like you to write a letter to George and Aileen over at October Toys telling them why it would be a good idea for them to move back east.
Yay!
Woohoo! Now, again, this does not, we do not mean to, nor do we intend to disparage anyone on the West Coast or in the South or in the center of the country.
This is purely selfish.
Purely selfish motivations. We just want your help.
Right.
So there it is.
They were good people.
They were.
They brought us ding-dongs.
They did. You're kind of fixated on the fact that they brought us some ding-dongs.
They were really good people.
You know what's going to happen next time they show up? They're going to just bring you ding-dongs. We're going to get fabulous things. So
gold-plated ding-dongs.
I was thinking something else, but never mind. And yes, so write your email and send it to OG over at geekstuffog@gmail.com. We're going to let this one sit for a week or two. And the best entry will win another fabulous prize from the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
I think we should be bold with this
one. There's the door. Yeah, what?
I think we should let this one run for the entire month of October.
What a brilliant idea.
Fantastic. 4 weeks to submit your entries.
There
no
you go.
Excuses.
No excuse. How about this? How about this? I can top it.
All right.
Top three prizes.
Nice.
Wow. A winner, a runner-up, and an honorable mention. So therefore, we're going to be giving away three prizes for the top entries into our Bring October Toys East contest.
Nice.
So there it is. So that's the contest.
All right.
I think we covered all the bases.
I think we should get into
and
something
else. And
with that... Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics this week we'd like you to check out include The Phantom, The Ghost Who Walks number 5 from Moonstone. Now, this is the ongoing... We're talking a lot about The Phantom today. This is the ongoing
it's
comic.
Item.
Sir?
He's a hot item, a commodity.
Yes. It's the brand new ongoing series from Moonstone. It's a fantastic book. If you haven't checked it out, you should. You'll get a little flavor, if you will, flavor for the character. Flavor. For more of a flavor of the character, if you will, sir, check out Phantom Generations, also number 5, also from Moonstone. This is the one that's a little bit more... novelish, if you will. It's kind of written in chapters, long on text, with opposing, what would you call them? Like pinup images.
Yeah.
Right, illustrated. Like an illustrated novel, like but in pieces. This is chapter 5, Sherwood Jungle, by Martin Gately and Enrique Alcaenta. Yes, and great. The images are great. The story is great. And again, This reading this kind of stuff will give you a much healthier insight into the character, so you might be able to enjoy the TV series that's coming. Like I will, because I have a great, what do you call it? History, with the character. History. Speaking of history, the future of the Star Wars universe is being told right now in a great book from Dark Horse called Star Wars Legacy.
Woohoo!
And it is now reached issue 40.
Love that book.
Yeah, this is a good book. So if you like yourself some Star Wars and, you want to see how the history or the future, rather, of the Star Wars universe might go, well, there it is, Legacy. It's a great book. Our friend Kevin Smith has continued a little Batman book called Batman the Widening Gyre.
Okay.
Kevin Smith with art by Walt Flanagan.
Go, Walt.
Yeah, and the art's pretty damn good, too, I must say. And story's pretty damn good as well. So this is number 2 of 6. There it is. Yeah, I might see old Kev tomorrow. You know he's signing in Manhattan?
Oh, what's he signing for?
I think Cacophony.
Wow.
But I'm not sure. It could be,
that
I don't
was
know,
it,
just
Union
general.
Square, I think?
Yeah, I heard some Union Square or something like that.
Something like that. Somewhere.
I'll see. Maybe I'll go. We've been talking for quite a while about Marvel celebrating 70 years of existence. And in conjunction with that, Marvel has put out a crapload, if I may use the term crapload.
You may.
Of reprint books that have the sort of updated story in the front and a reprinted story in the back. And we talked about a whole bunch of them. All Winners, Squad, all these sorts of books.
Right.
As part of the 70th anniversary. Well, now what they've put out is the Marvel Mystery Handbook, which all is right. just like the official handbook to the Marvel Universe. It's got entries, but they're all about all the classic characters from that era of Marvel comics, or Timely Comics, as they were known then. So you get characters like Namor the Submariner. Oh, wait. The Human Torch. Oh, wait. No, that's the old Human Torch. Phantom Reporter.
Who
was recently in a book that we talked about. Red Raven, Whirlwind Carter, Zephyr Jones.
Some good shit in there.
I know there is. Yeah. I really think this is great. I wish they would reactivate this universe.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to
just wipe the other one and
no, I mean they don't have to wipe the other one because some Yahoo is still going to read it. But here is a universe full of characters that I would gladly read about every week with no complaints.
Okay, well,
I mean, relatively.
Come
no
on.
Complaints. Well, you don't know. If it was really good, I would read it. And so far, all these reprints, reprint update combos have been really good.
Yeah, they really have. Give them credit for that.
Yeah, so the handbook is here. You can check it out. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to lead to anything like that. And so while we're at it, let's talk about it. Just Mike?
Are we talking about this?
Yeah, the embarrassment.
The disgusting.
Continues.
Ew.
Marvel Comics has decided it no longer cares. I know we've said this in the past with regards to Joe Quesada's famous quote to me, continuity should never get in the way of a good story. Well, and that is more true than ever now in Marvel Comics as Marvel has just started to re-release Spider-Man the Clone Saga. But it isn't the Clone Saga that happened. It's the Clone Saga reimagination.
Whoopie-doo.
It's the Clone Saga the way it should have been. What's the sell line on that, Just Mike?
This is what they put in the first page of the comic book. Now, let's say here, if you have to put a preface to a comic book, you're in trouble. It says...
Explaining yourself. Explaining your position.
Some people hate the Clone Saga and claimed it ruined Spider-Man.
Like everyone.
Others enjoyed parts of the story and missed some of the characters it introduced. Almost everyone agrees that it ran on much too long and eventually lost its focus. It did. And I didn't just say that as a commentary. That's what it says here. But at its heart, the Clone Saga was a very simple story. You hold in your hands an attempt to tell that story by a couple of its original writers. So turn the page and see the way it should have been told.
It would just be great if when you turn the page, it was reprints of the original pages, except with like a big eraser, just erasing shit.
Where do just, you get off get putting that in the beginning of a comic book?
Blech.
Let me tell you, this is now a... I thought this would be a one-off thing that did for Chris Claremont and his X-Men Forever, which is essentially... when Chris Claremont left the X-Men, now maybe Just Mike can help me here. Was he fired from the X-Men or did he just leave?
He was fired.
Okay. So when Chris Claremont was fired from the X-Men, they continued the story based on what? The ongoing story, because I don't know if you're aware of this. OG, are you aware of the fact that these are serialized stories?
Oh, yes, they are serialized stories.
Right, which means that one story leads into the next. It's an ongoing story. Now, that said, once one writer leaves, the next writer comes on and continues the story, and that's what happens. Now, when Chris Claremont was fired off the X-Men in whenever the hell it was, the story continued without him. Yet Marvel, in their wish to kiss Chris Claremont's ass, Lunatic Claremont decided he wanted to continue his X-Men story where he left off. Marvel gives him his own book called X-Men Forever that just kind of splinters off into its own universe. It's Chris's story. It's Claremont's X-Men story, the way Claremont would have done it. Now, I thought that was a one-off to kiss Chris's Claremont's ass to get him to do more work for Marvel, which, by the way, as brilliant as Chris Claremont was, he's a washed-up hack now. That said,
He was the original continuity ruiner.
No, well,
he put the band-aids on continuity. Time-traveling band-aids.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's it. I've written myself into a corner. Oh, I know. Character from the future will solve my problems. Anyway, not to belay the point here, but now they have done exactly the same thing with the Clone Saga. They have said, okay, we recognize the Clone Saga happened, then it was too long, and some people didn't like it, which I think maybe is the grossest understatement ever.
Yeah, because nobody
liked it. And the fact that a majority of people think that it ruined Spider-Man, it only ruined Spider-Man up until Joe Quesada ruined Spider-Man.
Right.
Joe killed what was left of Spider-Man. Or allowed it to happen. Sorry, Joe. I know you didn't write that. But that said, nobody wants to see more of the... Nobody wants to see a reimagination of the Clone Saga.
No.
It's the worst story ever. And how are you going to retell it that it's going to be better? You can't. It's ridiculous.
Can't.
And to put the notion in the head that... in anybody's head that, well, you know, we could always rewrite it and then Mephisto can come and Mephisto can make that the actual continuity by changing it. So, see, the continuity is because Mephisto changed it. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, the new story is actually the story that took place as far as all the characters are concerned or whatever the fuck they're going to do, or they'll do nothing. And this is simply how much, Just Mike?
$3.99
way to rape Spider-Man fans a second time on the same shitty story. Because you know what? Really intense Spider-Man fans, I'm talking diehard, like me with the Joker fans,
right,
are going to want to read it simply to find out what they wanted to do or what direction the story might have gone. And I appreciate the fans. I appreciate those guys who feel that way and want to do it. But let's be honest. It's a shitty story. The majority of everybody thinks it's a shitty story. And now to retell the shitty story, which is still going to be a shitty story,
is shame.
Shitty.
It's a shame.
Outrageous.
The way I described it to OG was just, it would basically be like if you put an 11-year-old in charge of writing Spider-Man, what they would think is cool.
Oh,
and anyone with anything over the age of 13 is going to go, this is horrific.
So let me ask you, Just Mike, did you read the original Clone Saga?
Yes.
Okay, you did. Have you read the new?
Yes.
Now, this is issue one. Do we know how many issues this is going to be? Is it just ongoing?
Of six.
Okay.
Limited series.
Now, so you read the original Clone Saga,
yes,
which,
did.
By the way, went on for like 2 years,
yes,
didn't it? And they're going to condense that story into 6 issues. Yeah, that'll work.
Because it was supposed to be only 3 months.
Yeah, oh, I know. Have you read anything in the first issue that is drastically a 180 from what happened earlier?
Not really.
So wonderful. So essentially, they've created a reimagination of the story that took 2 years before, at least 2 years, condensed down into 6 issues, and in the first issue, no major changes.
Just leave it alone.
They're still hinting at her being pregnant. There's still the clone. There's still the other bullshit.
Oh. Just let it die. It finally was dead.
Yeah, because it was overshadowed by the brilliant removal of his mask to the public.
In Civil War?
During Civil War, which was only... a move so stupid, it could only be topped by having Mary Jane make a deal with Mephisto that none of it ever happened. Oh, my God.
Once again, an 11-year-old writing the story.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
An 11-year-old belonged to Valerie Bertinelli?
On Lifetime?
Yeah, maybe.
Bring it all together.
You were a little heated there, Kev.
It angers me so much. You have no idea. Let's get through the rest of these here, because
please,
we're running up against the clock. Gallagher and Ellis present the second Zuda collection.
Is that the second collection?
It's High Moon. Yeah, Bayou was the first.
Oh, Bayou was the first. That's right.
Right. This is from Zuda Comics, which is DC's online imprint. Yes. And this is all about werewolves and the West, and it's a great, if you've never read it, it's absolutely fantastic. The art by Steve Ellis is really just top-notch. Known Steve Ellis a long time, and let me tell you, Steve Ellis not done better art than is what is appearing in High Noon.
All right. I mean, I love High Noon. It's a great book.
I've known him since Atomic Angels. Go ahead, find that book.
I remember that book.
And there it is. It's all collected for you. $15. You can't beat it. It's got the landscape format that they're all keeping, which is very nice. Good for the fellas.
I should have to get that.
Over at Zuda. Yes, I figured you must.
Night Owl's coming soon.
Why do you have to blindly plug them? Did they come back to this
no,
show
but
after
that's
the
third
debacle?
Book.
I know.
That's
just
the third
saying.
Release. I'm just saying what it is.
I'm just saying.
I didn't even say who it was associated
they?
With.
I'm saying where are they?
They'll be here. I'll get them back.
What are you saying? I can't get them back?
No, I'm saying that I'm working on it.
Hellboy, Volume 3. This is the large, hardcover, oversized library edition of the Hellboy books that are being put out by Dark Horse. This is essentially Conqueror Worm and Strange Places. It reprints those stories in an oversized format. This is meant for the serious... I think the serious book collector who's assembling bookshelves in their personal library with, like, the absolute titles and those sorts of things, where it's really presenting the art in a beautiful way, oversized way. The story's, of course, wonderful translation. Lots of extras inside. It's fantastic. Gonna run you about $50. It's worth it because if you're a fan of this material, you want to have a nice... I can't even tell you how many times I've loaned trades out, A, and never gotten them back, or B,
right.
have gotten them back and wished that somebody hadn't wiped their ass with them.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's this is the kind of book that you don't loan out. This is the kind you keep for yourself.
Right.
You buy one of those little book stands. You allow your children, if you have children maybe in the future, to gently turn the pages on the book stand to read the stories when they're old enough.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
OG, please don't wipe your ass with the graphic novel that I let you do.
It's Spider-Man Noir. I plan on wiping with each and every page.
If you are, just keep it. Just keep it.
I know everyone out there is expecting my full and complete review of Spider-Man Noir, but due to the events of the reimagination of the Clone Saga, we had to put off that review for just one more week. So
okay.
Stay tuned next week.
I'll be
Spider-Man,
able to chime in.
Spider-Man Noir... review of the trade that's coming next week here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Okay.
Want to close out our segment on books with an absolutely fantastic piece of pop art here. It's called Boilerplate, The Incredible Adventures of a Victorian Robot. Essentially what you have here, now Paul Guinan and with the help of Anina Bennett, what they have done over the last, I mean, it's got to be several years at this point, is concocted a, what do you call it, a lie? It's not a lie so much as they've created a history for this, is it a steam robot or a pneumatic robot or some sort of robot that has, it's almost like a robot Forrest Gump. sort of, who has appeared in World War I. He fought as a soldier for the U.S., this robot. And what they have done is, using various art styles and techniques throughout the turn of the century, they have inserted this boilerplate character into famous photos, into famous poster art, of the era. They've created a whole history of this character that spans a number of decades, and he has been inserted in all these famous instances with Teddy Roosevelt and a whole bunch of other things as well.
It's beautiful stuff, man. We've been following this for a long time.
Yeah, we met Paul in San Diego a number of years ago. And he was working on, he was just doing like just some generic sort of imagery then.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like for example, you have a picture from, you have a photograph from 1887.
Right.
And they have inserted him in the photograph so well, you can't tell that he's not part of that photograph.
You really can't.
Yeah, it's definitely,
I mean, the photorealism stuff is amazing, remarkable even. And they have a whole history. They have a whole bunch of backstory and everything else. It's contained in a hardcover book. It's amazing. Going to run you about $25. Check it out over at boilerplaterobot.com.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
it really is cool.
And, you know, he's been talking about this book forever.
Forever.
I talk to him every year. And he's been talking about this such a long time, and now it's out. Absolutely fantastic. BoilerplateRobot.com. Check that out.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
And, yes.
Right into it.
Right into DVDs as we're running out of time here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Biggest release of the week. For us, at
okay.
least.
Biggest release of the week for us, for OG, it's The Wizard of Oz.
That's not what I was going.
70th anniversary, two disc special edition, all new remastered edition with sing along feature. Ooh, OG!
You didn't get the collectible set with the posters and the
no.
bonus goodies.
And you know what? And the watch.
Yeah, bleh.
No, I looked at it, and you know what? It was not unreasonable. There was a Blu-ray version of that.
There was
the
a Blu-ray version.
Blu-ray version of a 1939 film makes
no
zero
sense.
To
that's the way it was intended to be filmed, in my definition.
In Blu-ray. Yeah. Well, anyway, on the regular. On the regular version, you're getting two discs, the movie with commentary, all sorts of commentaries, profiles, and the second disc, of course, you're getting some fabulous making ofs and extended, deleted scenes, and other things that some of which have appeared, I think most of which really have appeared in other formats in the past, but that's okay. It's The Wizard of Oz. It's the... What are you saying? I'd say it's got to be one of the first great fantasy films.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
All right. Yeah.
I say one of the first great fantasy films.
I'll give you that.
That's what I think.
All right.
And another fantasy film, Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. This is the latest DC Universe animated original movie from the folks at DC and Warner Brothers.
Right. I hear it's amazing.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah. So...
I got the two disc version. Includes all sorts of things and commentaries and specials and all sorts of stuff that you'll want to have a look at. Talks about there's a behind the scenes of Blackest Night is on here.
Ooh, that piqued my interest there. Sir.
I think it's the book they're talking about because I haven't heard anything about any animated.
No, me neither.
Night.
Well, we know the next animated feature is the Crisis one. So.
Yes, Crisis on Two Earths.
Right.
And guess what? There's an exclusive sneak peek on disc two of Crisis on Two Earths.
I might put in disc two before disc one.
There you go.
I'm a little excited to see that. I don't know. The only thing, of course, that bothers me about this is there's an armored Lex Luthor on the back of this, and there's nothing I hate more than an armored Lex Luthor.
Ooh. Still looking forward to it.
Monsters vs. Aliens, the DreamWorks 3D animation. I picked up the ginormous double DVD pack.
Right.
Which featured the movie and also featured Bob's Big Break in Monster 3D.
That is correct.
A new eye-popping adventure which includes 3D glasses.
Yes,
I thought
sir.
This movie was entirely in 3D.
No, when you went to go see it theatrically, you had the option of regular theater or 3D.
But
the movie itself is not available in 3D. Only the special feature.
I think that's weird.
That's the same thing with the Blu-ray release, which also includes Bob's Big Break in 3D.
Oh, it does?
It does. But the movie itself is not in 3D.
I didn't see that on the Blu-ray box that it included.
Yeah, it's right across the top banner of the box.
Oh, I missed that. Well, anyway, I got the two-pack. And because I got the two-pack at Best Buy, I was also treated to a mini Bob plush.
Well, isn't that cute?
Yeah, there he is. About 3 inches tall, soft plush. You could throw him at a friend. Won't hurt him, I don't think, if you take the tags off.
We should also mention out on DVD this week.
Yes, these movies in Blu-ray. We get it.
No.
No?
A real release of something you might be interested in, although not really.
What is it, Star
Trek? The Guild, seasons 1 and 2, with its mass retail release.
Really?
This week, out on DVD.
I didn't
Felicia
see it.
Felicia Day on Jimmy Fallon last night.
Oh, yeah?
To promote it. And then select retailers are carrying it this week, and then I think it's going past that. I know FYE has it for sure. I think Best Buy has it.
Wow.
Amazon is carrying it also. So, yeah, new what box, would be, new packaging.
What would be the purpose of me buying this versus
there is no purpose
one
of me
and
buying.
Two?
So other than no... you don't have season two yet, right? So
no, I don't. But, so, but the
there
point
is, no
is there's no extras. There's no.
I don't believe so. I believe it includes everything that was in the previous release of the discs. So it's really for people who are jumping on board.
Hold on. Wait. Felicia was on Jimmy Fallon?
Yes.
If you had Twitter, you would have seen me.
Why didn't you tell me?
Me and OG's conversation.
You certainly did not.
I certainly did.
Did they do a close-up of her?
Yes, and she was beautiful and
could
lovely.
You see,
her eyes were
could
gorgeous.
You see her eyes?
Yes.
Splendor. You ever stare into her eyes?
They have. And they say that we should move on with the show.
It's like the first time I saw fireworks, man.
That's great.
They're unbelievable. They just draw you in and then...
Right, and they... push you towards the wrap-up.
They capture your soul.
Push you gently, nudging you.
Fine. Well, that's it.
That's it.
Let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 165, Just Another Episode, starring Valerie Bertinelli. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why,
your
aren't
little...
you, why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when
you,
it's updated and when the website
is. Have an
is.
Opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Hey, this is Christine Hodge, Simone from Head of the Class, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 165, Just Another Episode.
Starring Valerie Bertinelli.
It's not starring Valerie Bertinelli or an autistic child.
OG's. OG's favorite Lifetime.
You don't have
movie.
A right to talk. I'll unplug your mic. I'll give you back the bad mic.
Hey, here's
I
an
control
idea.
That
no.
power.
Here's an idea. What did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about The Cleveland Show, Flash Forward, the Phantom trailer for the new sci-fi TV series, and the Nightmare on Elm Street trailer with Burn Victim Freddy. No lips, raspy voice. Looks so silly.
I know, it's so much different than the old Burn Victim
with
the weirdo
voice.
Looked kind
of like a demon in the old one. He was scary, frightened me as a child.
WizKids is back, but as a division of NECA, which means all your favorite Clix games, including Hero Clix and Pocket Model games, may all be coming back soon.
Disney may try to replace Johnny Depp in the role of Jack Sparrow, but for some reason... David Goyer is not trying to replace Nick Cage from coming back in a Ghost Rider film. Lost Boys 3 is coming to you because who doesn't want to see Corey Feldman on the screen again? And maybe Corey Haim we hear. Also, Danny Trejo joining Predator. The Hobbit in some financial troubles due to MGM. And Sony Marvel putting out a Venom film. We have Free Enterprise 2 on the horizon. And V probably isn't going to get its full 13-episode run.
Poor Marina. I guess showing those boobies didn't do enough.
Didn't do it.
Comics to check out this week include the 70th anniversary continuation of the Timely imprint thing from Marvel, Marvel Mystery Handbook, Batman the Widening Gyre number 2 by Kevin Smith and Walt Flanagan, Star Wars Legacy number 40 from Dark Horse, and from Moonstone, it's both the Phantom Generations and the Phantom Ghost Who Walks, both number 5s from Moonstone. Check those out. As well as Zuda Comics imprint collected High Moon. Woo-hoo. High Moon. I don't know if I said the actual title of the book.
I think you did.
High Moon collected for your enjoyment. Also check out Hellboy Volume 3. This is the oversized hardbound collected book from Dark Horse for your library considerations. And finally, Boilerplate, History's Mechanical Marvel, a sort of pseudo-fantasy art history thing, poppy thing from some great artists. And you can check it out over at BoilerplateRobot.com.
We also talked about the bastardization of Marvel trying to correct the Clone Saga. And next week, after the entire cast and crew has read Spider-Man Noir, you'll have our review.
I can't wait for the Noir Spider-Man clone.
Noir.
Yeah. Clone Noir. Saga.
Clone Noirs.
Clone Trash.
On DVD this week, we talked about Superman Batman Public Enemies, the latest DC Universe animated original movie. The 70th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz, two-disc special edition. Seems like every damn year it's like the 71st anniversary of The Wizard of Oz. Monsters vs. Aliens. I got the two-pack, which also features Bob's big break in Monster 3D. As well as a Tiny Bob plush, if you got it at Best Buy.
And also The Guild, Seasons 1 and 2. If you haven't picked up this DVD yet, now is a good time to do it.
Now!
Available in retail stores near you. Also, we have a plethora of contests going on right now.
Yes, let's rehash those one more time. The pick a TV show from the 60s, 70s, or 80s and do a reimagination with a feature film and tell us who will star in it is contest one.
We have the episode 164 best comment contest
on the website.
Correct. Over at the website, you can post a comment over there, and the most insightful, well-written, thought-provoking comment regarding the episode will win a prize. And then our October toys for the month of October contest
is we want you to write us a letter. Write George and Aileen from October Toys a letter telling them why it is that they should move back east. And you're going to send that to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
And because this is a month-long contest, we're giving out three prizes.
Top three. First prize, second prize, and an honorable mention. Three prizes for this big contest.
Right.
And these are big prizes. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Also, I should mention earlier that the Reimagine a TV Show from 60s, 70s, 80s contest, you should also email those entries to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That is correct. Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We have the episodes, the photo galleries, pertinent links, the t-shirts for sale, the message boards, and everything else.
And don't forget to also check out our brand new community website, Geekerdome, where you can see experience a variety of shows and comics and cartoons and things.
And goodness, really.
Yeah, really. Covering all aspects of the geek culture.
And I think that's it.
That is it.
We are done.
Right up against the wall.
Right.
And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 165, Just Another Episode, starring Valerie Bertinelli?
Did you know that OG likes Hancock?
And on that note, we cue the music.
That's all for Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. Now get your ass outside and live your fucking life.